But this weekend, we are celebrating what we're calling Campus Pastor Weekend. So in Ironton, they're going to be hearing from Robbie Brown. In Fairborn, they're going to be hearing from Matt Scruggs. And you are so lucky. You know that, right? You are so lucky because in Beaver Creek, you're going to be hearing from Sheila Sloan. So would you once again welcome her to the stage?
Before you sit down, I'm going to read the scripture, but I'm going to read a scripture that's not on the screen, and it's from Hezekiah 6:8, and it says, you should never surprise the speaker before she is to speak. Thus saith the Lord. I'm just saying, like, that's for real. That's really what that's what God told me to say. And then he said, let's read in Revelations 2:4-5. It says this, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this incredible day. Thank you, God, that you have brought us here together. Open our hearts to all that you would have us to hear. Help my words be the words that you would have me to say. Bless us, God, as we sit here together and hear what you have for us. We ask this, God, in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, where do you even begin from there? So this passage in Revelation comes from, it's a revelation that was given to the churches, and they speak to these different churches at different times and kind of say, hey, here's where you need to be. Here's what we kind of see is happening with you. And in this church in Revelation, it's a church from Ephesus, and it says, hey, you've lost that love and feeling. In fact, that's the title of our message today. You've lost that love and feeling. Whoa, I know, you're singing it in your head, right? It has. It's like, oh, we've lost that loving feeling. And I wonder if this church, when they begin to talk about it in Revelation, I wonder if this church had recently spent a year in pandemic. I wonder if they had been in this place where we are, where we have had this season of COVID where, you know, we began in March and everything kind of shut down, and it, like, we did this quick shutdown and everyone's like, shelter in place, and we began this faith over fear, and it's like, yes, we can do this. We can do this till summertime. It'll be fine. It'll be good. And then summer comes and goes, and we're still in this place, and it's been this year of ups and downs, and this mostly downs, and this unknown, and we continue in this place of unknown, and when you don't know what you don't know, it's hard to gauge, and we keep saying, oh, if we just go back to normal, then it'll be okay. But we don't really have a new normal, but we've been creating things. Like, we are really good at designer masks. Have you guys noticed that? Like we have this incredible place where we can make masks, and it can be an expression of ourselves. And every store you go into, designers all have their own masks. Vera Bradley has a set of masks. I saw Kate Spade has a set of masks. All the designers have masks. This week, I've seen a lot of Hocus Pocus masks. If you don't know what that is, don't worry. It's over yesterday. But there are all these ways that we can express ourselves through masks, and that has become our new thing. Our children wear them all over. And so it's this place where it's like, oh, we don't have this great yay anymore. It's like, I don't know what else. I mean, I don't know what will happen. And so when they talk about losing your first love and you've lost your first love, and I want to talk about that a little bit. And I was going to mention my husband. We've been married for 34 years. And it's like, oh, yes, my first love, my passionate love. And my daughter just got married last weekend or a couple weekends ago. And like that first love, and it's so great. But it's, you know, after a long time, it's all good, but it's like, so I didn't want to talk about people. I want to talk about what we're passionate about and how we get very passionate about different things. Like, some people are super passionate about sports. Like, some people have a favorite team, and you know those people, right? Because they dress in it, their mask have that sport, and they're all about, yay. I'm not a sports person. Never grew up doing sports. I grew up going to church all the time, and like Bible quizzing was my thing. I'm like, woo, I can memorize scripture. I know, I'm so weird. I didn't get all the fun things, so I made my kids do fun things. I was like, no, you have to play sports, because I never did. But one of the things that I did later in life is I began to run. It's right after we moved here, and it was early on after we moved here to Beaver Creek, and I had been a walker all the time, and I have to catch my breath because I get so excited I talk too fast, and so let me catch my breath a second. I would walk with friends all the time, but when I got here, I was like, let me try running. And so I could run from in my neighborhood from one mailbox to the next, and that's all I could do. And I'm like, yeah, accomplishment. And then I would do a little bit more, and then I could go a little bit more. And in 2002, I ran my first 5K. It was such a big deal. I'm like, yay, I came in second for my age division. I got this trophy, and it's in my office. And I understood, too, the older you get, the easier it is to place in your age division. And so I'm like, yes, for late passion. But when I began running and got so excited about it, I immersed myself in everything running. I wanted to read everything I could about running. I wanted to know all of it. I wanted to watch the shows and all the documentaries about running. And I would set my schedule and run four times a week. And I would get up early and go and run. And I would meet people. And I would say, hey, do you want to run with me? And I would, you know those people that are so passionate about something that you go, want to talk to you. I was that person. And I thought everybody could run. There wasn't a person that couldn't run. And they'd go, no, Sheila, I can't run. I'm like, you can. It's so easy. Come on, I'll show you. And it was just this overflowing passion and everything that I wanted it to be. And everybody knew that if you wanted to give me something, give her something that has to do with running because she loves it. But then like an injury happens and something slips in and it's like, I can't really do that anymore. And so what happens is my passion began to fade a little bit. And I began to examine, and I was like, well, what really happened when my passion began to fade? And the first thing that happens is my discipline begins to fail. And so where I would have three times a week that I would go, and then the weekends I would meet people, I would then begin to go, it's so cold outside. I don't think I can run today. Or I'd be, I stayed up too late. I probably can't run this day. Or I'm like, whoa, I had a lot of hamburger and fries last night. Pretty sure I can't run today. And it would be little things that would subtly get into the way. And pretty soon I'm two times a week and then meet with my friends. And then as my discipline began to fall, I would notice that my standards would slip. Like if I was scheduled to do a 3-mile run, I'd be like, mile and a half in, I'm like, whew, if I go to 1.6, that's more than a mile and a half, that's almost three, good, yep, I can keep going. I would let everything come in the way, or I would begin to listen to people talk about running, how terrible is it on your joints and how horrible it is for your body, and I'd be like, oh yeah, I probably shouldn't do that. I should probably only do one day a week, or I'd say, oh, if I walk really fast, and that's just like running, so I mean, I'm probably okay. And so my standards would slip. And then what I noticed next is that then my emotions would kind of flatline. That I would be like, meh, running, it's okay. I quit reading things about running because I'm like, oh man, I've read everything, I already know it. Like, there's nothing new under the sun, I can't learn anything else. Like, and so I would be, people would say, oh, you want to run? I'm like, meh, I mean, maybe. Like if the weather's just perfect, I will. Like if it's 62 or it's not raining. Oh, there's a chance of rain? Yeah, I don't think so. And I didn't have that passion anymore. I didn't have that love for it anymore. And it kind of just like, and it was like just okay. And it's kind of fascinating as I remember into my passion for running and how it kind of waned. This year has made me recognize that my passion for Christ has kind of waned, and that I have recognized in this year of pandemic, in this year of everything happening or not happening as it should, I've kind of flatlined there. There's a lot of apathy going around. I'm like, meh, I mean, it's okay. I mean, that's kind of fine. And when we first started shutdown, I was like, oh yeah, I can study, I can read everything, I can do all that. And I would not get up as early as I needed to. And I'd be like, oh man, I gotta get to work now, so I'm gonna have to just like keep going that. And I would notice these things would slip into my days. And the piece that I noticed the most was when I would be like, meh, I don't, like, it's fine. I don't really care. And that's the part where I'm like, oh, I think we have a little bit of a problem going on right here. I'm like, I think something's wrong. But this isn't a new problem. This isn't a problem that just happens to me, or maybe it's happened to you, that in this huge time of uncertainty, things have begun to change, and maybe you're not as passionate about things anymore. This has happened before. In fact, we're going to read a passage in Galatians here in just a few minutes. And Galatians is this letter that was written to the church in Galatia. How fun is that? Paul wrote this letter to this church in Galatia. And so Paul was this incredible missionary. In fact, Paul was a Pharisee before. His story is all throughout the New Testament. And it's in the book of Acts where Paul actually knew the law. He knew everything about the Jewish customs. He knew all about God. And then when Christ came in, he's like, I don't know so much about that. Like, not so crazy about that. And in fact, he pursued against it. And then he has this incredible encounter with Christ. He meets Christ on this road, and God pours upon him as only God can. And Paul is instantly changed, and he becomes this new man. And he wants everyone to go out. He wants everyone to know who God is and who Jesus is. So he goes out to all of these areas, and he begins to preach about Jesus. He's like, listen, you guys, Jesus is the best. And he goes to Galatia. And he begins to preach to them, and he preached to the Jewish people who would know the law. And he's like, listen, God is for everyone. Jesus came to tell us that he loves you. And the people of Galatia was like, yeah. And they received this pouring of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God came over them, and they became so excited. They were so powerful. They were so strong. They were like, yes, we know that the law doesn't bind us. We know that the law gives us freedom. We know that God is for everyone. We know that Jesus came and died so that we could live. And they were so powerful in that, and they were so passionate about that. Do you remember when you first got to know God? When you first began to hear about Jesus and you accepted Christ as your Savior, and your heart just was fluttered, and you were like, oh, I want to know everything I can about him. I want to know more of this Jesus. I want to talk to people that know Jesus. Man, this is the greatest thing. I've never felt like this. That's how Galatia was. And then over time, they allowed some different things to come in. And in Galatians chapter 4, Paul writes this to them, and it's pretty fascinating. In chapter 4, starting with verse 13, surely you remember that I was sick when I first brought you the good news. But even though my condition tempted you to reject me, you did not despise me or turn me away. No, you took me in and cared for me as though I were an angel from God, or even Christ Jesus himself. Where is that joyful and grateful spirit that you felt then? I am sure that you would have taken your own eyes and given them to me if that had been possible. Have I now become your enemy because I am telling you the truth? So Paul writes this letter to Galatia, and he's like, oh my gosh, when I first got there, I had this ailment, probably something with his eyes. He goes, you guys would have gouged your eyes out for me. Let me just sidebar there. My children's pastor Hart goes, that's the coolest story ever. Look, you guys, you want to hear about bulging eyeballs? Anyway, back to that. If you have kids, tell them that really cool story. So Paul is like, listen, you would have done this for me. Where's that spirit? I'm coming back and telling you, hey, you've lost that loving feeling. You guys have lost that loving feeling, and you're acting like I'm your enemy. I wonder what happened to that church in Galatia. I wonder if maybe their disciplines began to fall. I wonder if they began to make excuses like, oh man, I can't get up in the morning anymore. I just, it's like, oh, my alarm went off too late. Shoot, I'm not gonna do it. I wonder if they began to say, everything's online now. I don't have to really go to church and be with people. I can just watch online. Or I wonder if they began to say, it's like, oh, it's so easy not to be able to do that. I mean, it's a different world. We don't have to engage. I wonder if they began to say, hey, if I just go Sunday, then that'll be fine. I don't have to read for myself. I don't have to talk to God. Other people are talking to God. I wonder if they got to the point where they said, oh, I can just listen to what other people are saying about Jesus. I don't have to pursue my own relationship. It's fine. I wonder if they began to do that. Or I wonder if their standards began to slip. I wonder if they began to say, let's see how close to this line I can go. Like, you know, everybody else is right over here. Like, sin is so appealing and it's so easy. Maybe I can just step in. Or maybe they began to allow crude talk to happen. Or maybe they began to participate when it became the place where we became divided and said, oh, they are wrong, we are right. Maybe they lost sight of being able to recognize that everyone was created in the image of God and that God was for everyone. Maybe it was so bleak for them that they couldn't see God in the everyday. Maybe they thought that God wasn't doing miracles anymore. Maybe their emotions flatlined and it became the place where they were like, meh, it's not, who cares? I mean, we don't even know what's going to happen, so maybe. Maybe they got to that place where apathy set in. And when they got to that place where apathy set in into their spiritual life, it affected all parts of their life. It affected when they went to work and were like, yeah, okay, big deal. I mean, it's fine. They got to the place where emotions didn't matter and they couldn't see the good in anything. And nothing was very exciting, or the exciting was just for a little bit because, I mean, it's just going to be miserable again soon because nothing is changing. There are no cures out there. There's an election happening soon, and it's going to be bad either way, so why do we even care? And so maybe they were at that place where everything had flatlined. That's what made it real for me. When I recognized that I wasn't excited about anything, I wasn't happy about anything that was happening within my world, my family world, my church world, my everyday world. Shopping wasn't even fun. That was the worst of it. I'm like, man, who needs anything? Can't go out of our house. Why do I need new clothes? That's changed for me recently, so it's all good now. Just so you know. So here's what happens is we get to this place. And so we go, how do we get that loving feeling back again? We recognize that things flatline in our life. We recognize that we've kind of slipped and we allow a little more things in. We don't intentionally spend time with God anymore. And so how do we get that loving feeling back again? What we tend to do, or what we first automatically do is we say, oh, okay, if I just get happy, if I can get my emotions back up there, if I can like find a reason to get happy, then that's gonna be really good. I can just get happy and my emotions will be up there, and then that'll be good. Then that'll cause my standards to get back in place, and then I'll be able to go, yeah, I'm happy with that, and so that'll be good. And so then when everything's happy and it's good and I've stepped back away from the line and I'm looking at people again normally, and then I'll spend time with God. That's how that's gonna go. But that's not how it works. If you've ever played sports, if you've ever realized that, if you've ever been in any kind of sports thing, you realize that when you come back to something, you start with the basics. When I had taken time off of running, and when I had been away from running for a while, my head when I was doing my running all the time. I was running marathons and it was so fun. And then I realized that is so dumb. And I got to normal running paths and I was like, oh, this is good. And so I could run easily 6, 8, 10 miles. I'm like, yeah, this is fun. That's no problem. But then after I took a break and my passion had waned and I wanted to get back into it, I'm like, oh, I can probably run 5. No, I could run to the next mailbox. I had to go back to the very basics again. I had to start where I was at the very beginning and like, oh, let me just go to that next mailbox. When we recognize our lives are away from Christ, when we recognize that we've lost that loving feeling, we need to start with the discipline of, we need to start with our own disciplines again. We need to start with intentionally finding time to be with God. We need to start with that place where we say, hey, I need to make an appointment this week in my calendar that I'm going to meet with God every day. Let me figure out this. Is it morning? Is that my best time? Is it lunchtime? Do I have 15 minutes at lunch that I can spend with God? I need to buy a new notebook. Intentionally buy a new notebook that tomorrow I'm going to begin to write my prayers in a notebook because that's what I need to do to intentionally set that time. Or I need to make sure that I have something scheduled that I am meeting with God. I'm going to find a reading plan on the Bible app and I'm going to read. I'm going to set that in my alarm so that I intentionally do that. In order to get back, your discipline has to begin and you have to get back to the basics and you have to start with how do I begin again? Because then when you begin in your disciplines again, when you begin to intentionally carve out your relationship with Christ, your standards begin to rise. When your standards begin to rise, you don't go so close to the line of sin. You're like, no, I'm good. I got an appointment with God tomorrow. I'm good. You can then, when there's a conversation going on around you, you can say, no, I need to step away from that. I don't need my mind to be fixed in that. I can turn off this radio station because, man, they use a lot of bad language in that radio station. I don't need to have that inside of me. Your standards begin to rise because your discipline is stronger and you are meeting with God. And you're like, well, you know what? I don't need to participate in that kind of conversation. I need to recognize that everyone was created in the image of God. And to God, everyone was important. And so I need to be more aware of that. I need to step in when my voice needs to be heard for good. Your standards begin to rise. And as your discipline sets in, and as your standards begin to rise, so then do your emotions come back. Because there's joy in the morning when you are with God. You begin to see God in every day. You can recognize him. You can recognize that God still does miracles in our everyday life. And you can see that. And that should empower you. That should bring you back to peace. That should bring you back to, yes, God. Yes, God, and your emotions come back because you can see God working in our everyday. You can see God all around us, and you can begin to get to that place where you're like, yes, God. And you can know that in the midst of darkness, in the midst of when things don't seem steady, in the midst of when we don't know for sure, I know for sure that God loves me. I know for sure that God created me. I know for sure that God dwells in me and that I can love other people. And man, that's powerful. Man, that's hopeful. Man, that is loving when we get to that place, when we work on our discipline, when we intentionally meet with God, when our standards come back up, and then our emotions follow suit, and then we know that God is still God, and it's okay. In fact, it's more than okay. It's good. We can be reminded that, oh, God is so good, and he does so much for us. We could be reminded of that. We read at the very beginning this passage in Revelation. I want to read it again. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 through 5, it says, "But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first." Do the works you did at first. I don't want us to be the church that they talk about in Revelation. I don't want us here in Beaver Creek to be the church that says, "Hey, you guys are doing all the right things, but you've lost that loving feeling. You guys are doing good things because it's this thing that continues to roll, but you've lost that loving feeling. You've lost that passion for Christ. You've lost that drive that says, no, God is God and it is good. You've lost that sense of, oh, no, God, you still can and I'm with you and I can participate." I want us to be the church that says, "Yes, God, yes," and that we step into that. And we are reminded that our passions are what God gives us and that he fills us so full of him. And his spirit comes over us and empowers us so that we can walk forward, so that we can say yes, so that we can be full of all that God has and that we can shine him in everyone that we meet. That when everything seems dark and gloomy, we can reflect God. Because we're full of him, because we've spent time with him, because we're intentional to do that. That's who I want us to be. I want us to be that church that is passionate for God, that does the good things that God calls us to, but we live this life full of him and all that he has for us. And do you know where that starts? That begins with salvation. That begins with accepting Christ as your Savior. That begins with allowing God to come into your heart, because when we accept Christ as our Savior, then he says yes and he fills us with his Spirit. And then the Spirit of God is within us and then we can go forward in that. So I want to invite you to stand. And we're going to begin with salvation. We're going to begin with that place where we can ask God to come into our hearts. And if you have never done that, then man, we invite you now to be able to accept Christ as your Savior, to be open to all that God has for you. Romans 10:9 says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And so we're going to say our simple prayer together. I'll say it and you can repeat after me. We invite you to accept Christ today, to feel the power that God has for you. The passion and the love can be yours. And if you've said this before, then I invite you to say it as an affirmation of your faith and a recommitment to all that God has for you. And the prayer goes like this: Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that he was raised from the dead to forgive my sins. I receive your grace by faith. Come into my life. I will follow you. Amen. Amen. We celebrate that today. Oh, we celebrate the joy that God has for us. Today, when you came in, you were given a cup of communion. If you don't have one, just raise your hand and the ushers will come by and give you one. We are going to share in communion today. So we call this that we are coming to the table, that we are coming to the table that Christ set before us. And there's a phrase that we always say, that everyone is welcome to the table, because that's how God intended it. That's exactly what God intended for us. And so when Jesus was with his disciples, the 12 that followed after him, they came to the table together. And they came to the table that was set for Passover. It was their time of celebration. They were going into the celebration and they were just all sitting there, and Jesus did something different that time. You see, Jesus knew at that time he would be leaving them and that they would need a Holy Spirit, that they would need to be empowered by him, that they would need a place to know that in the darkest of times that God was still with them and that God would be with them again and again and that they would be able to have him with them and that there would be passion and drive and relationship. And so as he is at the table, he takes the bread, which was common for them, and he holds it and he blesses it. And he passes it around and he says, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. And he takes the cup of wine and he blesses it. And he passes it to all of them and he says, take and drink. This is my blood shed for you. He said, when you do this in remembrance of me. Be reminded that I am for you. Be reminded that I am with you. Be reminded that I will continue to be with you because I love you and you will always have the passion that I have for you. As we sing this next song, feel free to share in communion as you feel it's time. Pray and accept all that God has for you.